The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to the podcast today, the live broadcast of this. You guys here on Facebook, we welcome you here this afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. Again, if you are just joining us for the first time, please let us know in the comment section below that you are indeed new to the broadcast, and let us know where you're joining us from. So I want to get this right off the bat because I get asked this frequently recently. Yes, this behind me is a dance studio. This is not my office. This is not going to be our main broadcasting location. This is a temporary location. Some really good friends of ours, their kids are in dance. They're heavily involved in dance, and they have a dance studio. This happens to be the best location that we have right now for broadcasting, for consistent internet speeds and stability. So that's why, if you wondered lately why we're in a dance studio, that's why. So I just wanted to get that out there. So for those who've been asking that question. So at this time, we welcome all of our audience, whether it be podcast, YouTube, or Facebook. Today, I want to be dealing with four major hindrances to getting our prayers from being answered. So we're going to go through this pretty quick today. I'm hoping to get this wrapped up in 15 to 20 minutes. My ultimate goal, guys, is to do these more often through the week. Eventually, when we move and we transition to our main office and we transition to our main headquarters and location, you know, right now, typically we're coming on about 2 days a week, and then we try to end the week with a prayer segment. I would like the end game of this thing. I would like to be doing this 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We're coming on here and we're doing these 15 to 20 minute devotionals like today. So just to let you know, that's going to be our goal. So I'm trying to transition this now to not be on here as long, but to hit you with good, I believe, what we'd be equipping points of devotional points. So this is what we're going to be dealing with today. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me because I am going to read some scripture here today. Four major hindrances to getting our prayers from being answered. Many people, it's not their prayer life that's the hindrance. It's not that they don't have a desire to pray, and it's not that they don't read their Bible, and it's not these things. But many times people are doing these four major things, or these four major things are going on in their life, and they may or may not realize that it is blocking, or it's hindering, or I would even say it's restraining heaven from responding to their prayers. And you say, is that possible? Yes, absolutely. And I'm going to show you that today. So number one, let's get to the first one. The first one is going to be the context of this. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. So the first one, listen up, all the husbands. If you're watching this broadcast and you are married and you have a wife, I said, if you're married and you have a wife, okay, because we have to preface this today in 2021. According to the Apostle Peter, listen to this. I'm going to read this from, this is from chapter 3 of 1 Peter, and we're going to start at verse 3, and we're going to go down to verse 1 of chapter 3 and go down to verse 7, and then we're going to hit you with this first point. All right. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. So wives, you weren't going to get out of this thing easily. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Did you know that was in your Bible? There's been many husbands that did not have a solid walk with God, that were not faithful to the Lord, was not going to church regularly, but because their wife was sold out to God, living a holy life, living a godly life, being faithful and being persistent, that husband in their marriage saw that relationship, saw that devotion, saw that dedication, and they were convicted to repentance and eventually ended up giving their heart to the Lord. So that's what the Apostle Peter's talking about here. I'm going to prove it to you. Verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct or chaste conduct accompanied by fear, Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing the gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be in the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Verse 5, for in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now here, he shifts and he goes to husbands. Listen to this. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, listen to this, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Listen to this, that your prayers may not be hindered. So the Apostle Peter here warns believers, especially here, he's homing in on husbands that are born again, servants of God, followers of Christ. He commands us here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give grace and to honor our wives as the weaker vessel and not to rule over them with control and manipulation. Because if we do so, then according to the word of God, this is grievous to the Lord and it can actually hinder our prayers from being answered. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you an example of this. Many years ago, many of you guys know this story. My wife and I got radically saved in the year 2000. So we've been serving the Lord for 21 years now this June, to God be the glory. And when we first got saved, we both loved the Lord. We were both following after him, but we were still on different levels. This doesn't mean we were unequally yoked. It just means that our devotion was at different levels. Just like probably you and your spouse is at different levels of your devotion. Your husband may be one who likes to read more of the word, where you like to hear more of the word, whether it's read or whether it's heard. Or you may be one who likes, you are more into prayer, where he's more into the reading of the word, or you may be more into the reading of the word, he's more in prayer. So there's these different levels of devotion that we have. So many times, I know for myself, I made the mistake of many years ago that I tried to measure myself. Listen, I'm going to help somebody today. I tried to measure myself up as to being a husband, not according to the word, but according to other individuals, according to other husbands, according to other family, according to other friends, according to other pastors, according to other ministers that I saw or that I heard about or that I read about or that I saw on television or saw in sermons or whatever. So I was trying to measure up my life based on their lives and not on the word of God. And this is number one, that's a huge mistake. And the Bible talks about that we should not compare one another to, because if you start going down that road, guys, I'm going to tell you what it's going to do is open the door for condemnation. Jesus is our ultimate example. The word of God is our ruler and our measuring rod. So if you want to compare yourself to anybody, it should be him. And if you want to use a measuring rod, it should be the word of the Lord. Not a novel, not a book, not some pastor's prayer life, and not what, you know, what not. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be examples. Leaders should lead by example. I'm not saying that, but watch this. So what happened was, I begin to develop these expectations for my wife. Well, how come you're not, you know, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been doing, because she would struggle in certain areas. And I said, have you been praying? Have you been getting your devotional to how much of the word? And so I would begin not operating out of, listen, I'm still in the book. I begin to shift and not operate out of grace, like Peter said here, or not begin to operate out of understanding that she is the weaker vessel, but I began to condemn her. Now, if you know your Bible, if you begin to operate out of condemnation, that is not out of the Spirit of God. So we had some conflict over that. Now, we would go back and forth and back and forth. And then one day, I remember I got into my prayer closet and I began to pray and I began to ask the Lord about wisdom on this. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me in my spirit and said, you are not the Holy Spirit. I will convict her. I will draw her in and I will be the one who will deal with her, not you. So, and this relieved me, gave me a huge revelation and lifted the burden off of me. Because listen, guys, if the Holy Spirit can't draw you into prayer, draw you into his word and draw you into his presence, what are you and I going to do? Because if we begin to forcibly try to do this through manipulation or control, then we are operating not out of the Spirit of God. And this is what Peter's saying here. He says we have to give understanding and honor to wives as the weaker vessel. I'll remind you, it was, and this is not being, I'm not dogging women here. I all you ladies, listen to this. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. But it was Eve in the garden that was deceived first, and she took Adam to partake of the same sin in which she fell in. Because again, I'm in the book. So number one, the mistreating of our wife. Now, I started out with this real spiritual, but I know I'm going to have to make this practical. So listen to me. If you're married and you, I hit the spiritual side of this first. Now, let me hit the practical side of this. Listen, this is obvious. This is a duh, no brainer. If you are mistreating your wife physically, emotionally, mentally, verbally, if you're having an affair, infidelity, adultery, whatever, if you're doing any of this, it is quite obvious, my friend, that according to the Apostle Peter, this is why your prayers are being hindered. So if you're taking notes, number one, the mistreating of your wife in any of those areas is one reason why your prayers are not getting answered. Now, let me get to the second part. Number two is harboring offense. Let me say that again. Number two reason why people don't get their prayers answered is because they hold offense. They're harboring offense that has become a root of bitterness on the inside of them. And they have all this unforgiveness that they're holding against family, against friends, against a church, against a ministry, against another business, against someone who did them wrong or someone who whatever offended them. I'm going to read this. We're going to be going in Matthew 6 and Matthew 5. Listen to this. Jesus talked, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this for sake of time, because I really am going to try to stick to my word and keep these a little bit shorter. But in your own time, you can read Matthew 6. He talks about praying. And Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites and stand out in the public square so they can make a spectacle of themselves and they can be heard for their long prayers and their long pretense. He said, but go, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret rewards you openly. And then he tells the disciples how to pray. Give us this day, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory for amen. So he gives them this pattern. I call it a prayer pattern. But watch this. This is what's interesting. And then he goes right. So he's all this is in context in Matthew 6. He talks about how to pray. He talks about when to pray. And then he talks about a pattern of prayer. And then right after that in verse 14, he ends this with this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive you of your trespasses. This is powerful. Nobody preaches on this. So listen, I don't care if you tithe every time you get paid. I don't care if you give big offerings in the church, you sow into ministries and you do all this stuff. If you can't forgive people and you hold unforgiveness in your heart, let me tell you what Jesus said. He goes a little bit farther in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 24. Or I'm sorry, let me go to verse 21. You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And then I'm going to skip down here to verse 23. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, Remember, therefore, you can't say therefore unless you go back to wherefore. The wherefore in this is being angry at your brother or your sister. And Jesus said in the old covenant, under the old covenant, murder was a sin leading to judgment. But he says in the New Testament, if you as much as hate someone from your heart, you don't have to slay them with a weapon, but you can hate them from your heart. He says you've already committed the act in your heart. And you're in danger of hellfire. That's what the word of God says. But he goes a little bit further. Listen to this. Verse 23, Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, remember, I just told you the wherefore. Here's the therefore. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar. Come on, you bring your offering. You bring your tithe to the altar. And there, remember that your brother has something against you. Notice he said that he didn't even preface that you remember that you have something against your brother. He said, if you remember that somebody has something against you. Now, I'm going to read this and I'm going to come back to that. Listen what Jesus says. Leave your gift there before the altar. Notice he didn't say don't give. He says leave your gift there and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, he's saying don't stop tithing. Don't stop giving to the Lord. Don't stop honoring the Lord with the first fruits of your increase in offerings and giving unto the work of the kingdom. He's not saying don't do that and don't stop doing that. What he's saying is, oh, come on, somebody. I wish somebody get this revelation like I've got this and trying to get it across to you. What he's saying is you possess the opportunity to be blessed from heaven, because when you come into covenant with God with your finances, he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you have not room enough to receive. But what he's trying to relay to you that is this: if you with one hand you're trying to give your gift to heaven, come on, but with the other hand you're holding offense and unforgiveness against your brother, or they have it against you. What he's trying to say, listen, if he addressed someone having offense towards you, how much more is the Lord speaking to us today if we have offense against someone else? Oh, I'm not going to get much help on this broadcast today, but I'm telling you, if you can get it in your heart and get it in your spirit and get it in your mind, come on and understand this revelation today that God wants you to remove the hindrance off of your life so that you can be blessed and that you can get your prayer answered. Whew. So listen to this. I'm going to read the rest of this. Leave your gift before the altar. Go your way. Be reconciled to your brother. Come and then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown in prison. And surely I say to you, listen, this is the scary part. You will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Did you know that there's this is in the book of Matthew. I believe it's in either Luke or Mark. And it says, so shall your heavenly Father do unto you who do not forgive men of their trespasses. So I'm trying to tell you, The hand of God brings protection. It brings provision. It brings blessing. But when God removes his hand, it removes the blessing, removes the protection, removes the provision. I don't have time to develop all that, but I can show you all through the Old Testament that this picture and this illustration is there even in the New Testament. All right, so number one prayer hindrance is mistreating your wives, guys. Number two is harboring offense against brothers and sisters or people in general. Number three, oh, this is a good one, is praying with the wrong motive and intent in the first place. Let me say that again. If we come praying with the wrong motives and the wrong intent in the first place, let me give you scripture for it. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? And by the way, James is talking to church folks here. I'm going to say it again in case you didn't hear that. James is addressing church folks. And he says, do you want to know where wars and fights come from among the church? Listen, he says, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? In other words, in your flesh. You lust and you don't have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Listen to verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it upon your pleasure. So this is twofold here. Number one, he says you have not because you've asked not. Some of us are, we've been taught by religion that we can't ask the Lord for things. Oh, you know, you can't, you know, if you need a new job, religion has taught us, well, you can't pray for a new job because God don't hear that prayer. That's a bunch of garbage. Oh, you can't pray for a dependable vehicle because God's not in that business. You can't pray. Some people even believe that you can't pray for people to be healed because they don't even believe that God still heals today. That brings me to another point, and this is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. Listen, if you don't write any scripture down, I want you to write this scripture down and put it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror, put it in your notes, and I want you to memorize this scripture. Ready? Here it is. There's three verses here. This is in Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. Then I'm going to go back to James. See, this is Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Listen to this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now listen to this next verse. This is Ephesians 5, 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I want you to say this with me. I want you to say, God does not want me to be unwise, but understand what his will is for my life. Come on, do you receive that today? Do you believe that? God wants you not to be unwise, not to be ignorant, but to fully understand what his will is. Okay, why is that important? Because again, when you begin to study the scriptures and read the Bible, you go to the book of Matthew chapter. In fact, let's just go there right now. Matthew 6. Let me go to Matthew 6 because this all ties in with the same with number 3. Listen what Jesus said here. Quote, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or he'll love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and he'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That word mammon there translates in the Greek to money. Again, you cannot serve God and money. Am I saying money is evil? No, I'm telling you the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. Money in itself is good. Money can do great things. Money can fund the gospel overseas, and it can bless missionary work. It can build orphanages. It can help the widows. It can help support ministries. It can do the work of the kingdom. It's a great blessing. But he says you cannot be loyal and serve, or in other words, you can't put money on the throne of your heart. Because if you do that, you're putting God at the footstool, when in reality, God should be on the throne and money at the footstool. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen to verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, listen what he says here. Do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on it. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look, and then he says, look at this. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor they reap nor they gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than them? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Now he goes from birds to the flowers. And he says, look how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon and all of his glory was not even arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, this is all in context. Therefore, do not worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Listen to verse 32. For all these things, somebody say, all these things. What are these things? Again, context is everything. Clothing, food, things that you need in life. He says, all these things the Gentiles seek. In other words, you know what? Here's the thing about this context here. When he says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, what he's saying is there at this time that this was written, the gospel was first sent to the Jews, but not the Gentiles. So what he's saying here in essence is all these things the ungodly are seeking after. This is, come on, this is the cutthroat mentality. They punch the clock every day. They're working to obtain the dollar. Come on, week after week after week, they're working, they're breathing, they're living, they're punching the clock, they're going through the working routines every single day so that they can get the paycheck, they can get the money, and that they can be, they're the gerbil on the treadmill going over and over and over and over and over again because they're working and killing themselves for the American dollar or for whatever you're at or for the money. But then he shifts and says, therefore, hold on, let's go back over here. This is 32. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Now he shifts and goes to the church. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Somebody say, my heavenly Father knows I need all these things. But, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wow. Now, I didn't lose what I was talking about. Now, let me go back up to James. Praying with the wrong motive and intent. Now, listen to this. James says there's warring and contentions in the body of Christ. They're lusting and they can't obtain this. He said, and there's a twofold reason here. He says, number one, you have not because you ask not. Some of you've been told by denominations and religions and stuff that you can't ask for these things, even though your heavenly Father knows you need these things. And by the way, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. He that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh shall findeth, and he that knocketh, the door shall be open unto him. But number one, the twofold of this, number one is we're not asking. And number two, we're asking with the wrong motives. Let me give you this is why I have a problem with the hyper prosperity gospel, because they've taught people the wrong motives. Listen, pastor, if your whole motive of being a pastor is so that you can rob people of the tithes and offerings and build a 40,000 square foot mansion and drive a Bentley and a Rolls Royce and a Ferrari and get on Instagram. And by the way, did you know that there is preachers out there that actually do this? They get on Instagram, and I don't have it in front of me, but there's an actual site. It makes me sick to my stomach. There is a site on Instagram. There's a page on Instagram where all these preachers go on and they talk about their shoes and they show off their shoes. And we're not talking about some $25 shoes that pay less. And we're not talking about some $50 or $60 Nikes or some Adidas. We're talking about shoes that are thousands and thousands of dollars, big name brand shoes. And there's an Instagram account. I think it's called Preachers with Sneakers or something like that. And that absolutely makes me sick. Now, you want to talk about praying amiss? That is praying amiss. So we need to check our motives. Listen, there is nothing wrong. You know what? Let me just make myself transparent. Years ago, when I first got saved and I came into the revelation of tithing and making a covenant with God, I said, Lord, if you will continue to increase us, because did you know the Bible says, pray that you increase more and more? And watch this. So God is not against you prospering. I want to get that out of your head. I know there's been people that's been taught God don't want you to prosper, and he wants you to be poor, and he wants you to be in need, and he never wants you to get by. No, God wants you to prosper and he wants you to excel and he wants you, come on, to be successful. But watch this. But it's what are you going to do? Come on, when you get successful, when you get to the top, when you get into the overflow, and when you get to the place where you're prosperous, it's that is what I'm talking about. So I remember many years ago, when we made the covenant with the Lord, we said, God, if you no longer... It no longer how much you expand us and increase us and multiply us, we will continue to honor you with the first fruits of our increase. And God has, I'm telling you, friends, God has been faithful year after year after year to continue to bless our family, continue to bless my wife with open doors, continue to expand our ministry. We're reaching people all over the world. It's unbelievable, and it blows my mind what God has done with the ministry of End Time Headlines. And I believe with all my heart, it's because of this principle. I'm telling you, it's because we've made a covenant with him, and B, I recognize if there's ever a point where I have to get myself, my motives in check, I have to do that. So are we praying with the wrong motives and intent? This can hinder us. And then finally, number four, and I want to close with this. Here's what it says in Proverbs 28, 13. I said Proverbs 28, 13. David said, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. 1 John 2, 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So number four, guys, is unrepented sin in our lives is a hindrance to our prayers. So listen, this is not condemnation. I'm telling you, every single person on this broadcast, you have some form or fashion of weakness. Some of you've got a weakness in gossip. Some of you've got a weakness in lust. Some of you've got a weakness in money. Some of you've got a weakness in fear. Some of it's unforgiveness. I'm telling you, this is why the Bible says in the book of James, every man is drawn away and he's enticed when he's drawn away by his own lust. This is where you're going to have to examine yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think that you can hold on to that pet sin, God, I give you everything but this. God, I know you said this is wrong, but. God, I know you told me to lay it down, but. God, I know you said to take up my cross and deny myself, but. I want to hold on to this. I'm telling you. David said that he that covers his sins will not prosper. I'm telling you, it's a hindrance to prayer. So this is, let's get into this thing right now. I want to pray right now before we close this segment. Let me open this back up. I closed this too soon. I'm going to pray over these four points here. Let me pray over these four points. If you're listening today by Facebook, watching by YouTube, or listening by podcast, and you fall in the category of either one, two, three, or all these above, we're going to ask the Lord to begin to, number one, is to reveal it to us. Number two is that we do something about it. We ask him to forgive us and cleanse us and help us to lay down that thing or turn away from that thing that is hindering us. Listen, if you're listening to this today and you think you've done everything right, you've been praying, you've been fasting, and it's like you're hitting a wall, you're hitting a ceiling, and you can't get that breakthrough. Could it be possible that your prayers are being hindered in either one, two, three, or all the above, and you didn't know this? This is what the light of the gospel does. This is what the word of God does. It brings It shines into our hearts and shines into our lives and brings revelation to things that we are not aware of. This is why David said, forgive me or cleanse me of sins of omission and remission. Or in other words, cleanse me of sins that I know of or aware of and things that I may not be aware of. So number one, if you're listening to this today and you are a husband and you've been mistreating your wife, you have been verbally abusing her, physically abusing her. You've been committing adultery, fornication, whatever. Things are falling apart. Listen, right now, I pray the Holy Spirit begin to invade your life, invade your marriage, invade that relationship right now in Jesus' name. Go right into your home. Go right into your business. I pray he convicts you, man of God. that you begin to change your verbiage. You begin to change your language. You begin to shower her with mercy and shower her with grace, that you begin to turn away from condemnation. You begin to turn away from verbal abuse. You begin to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. That you begin to be understanding. You begin to come into a unity and agreement. And I just feel the Holy Spirit just prompted me to go in a different direction right here. I want to pray right now. I bind the enemy off of your marriage. I bind the enemy off of your mind, off of your heart, off of your marriage. I bind spirits of division, discord, dissension, and divorce. And I command them to go out of your marriage, out of your family, out of your relationship. Somebody, come on. So I'm talking to somebody today. Your father had a divorce. Your father was abusive. You watched your father do these things to your mother, and even his father. This thing is something that's been going on generationally in your family, and you've seen this. You've experienced it. You've witnessed it firsthand, and you have been begging God and asking God and saying, God, I don't want to follow in that footsteps. I don't want to keep this going, but I want it to change, and I want it to change today. I believe right now that the Lord is hearing your prayers. I believe he's breaking that off of you. I believe he's changing the course of your destiny. I believe he's changing the course of your marriage. I believe he's changing the course of your family. I believe he's turning it around in Jesus' name. I believe he's making someone who was a downcast and an outcast, come on, a prince in your home, a king in your home, and a king according to the word of God. He is transforming someone's marriage right now. And I wish somebody would receive this today. Listen, if you're watching this today and you are harboring offense against anyone, whether it be in the church, out of the church, whether it be a church member, whether it be a family member, whether it be a neighbor, whether it be a friend, whatever the case may be, if you right now, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would reveal it to them in their heart, reveal it to them in their spirit, reveal it to them in their mind. If there is offense there, if there's something going on in their heart right there, and every time they go to the altar, or every time they get ready to give that gift, or every time they get into the presence of God, they go to church, or they open the Bible, it's like a nagging. And then, friends, I'm telling you, you know what that nagging is? It's the Holy Spirit of God, and he's dealing with you right now. The Bible says, out of the testimony of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. Listen, the inner voice that you've been hearing speaking to you is being confirmed today by my voice. This preacher's confirming to you today what the Holy Spirit's been dealing with you. You need to release some people right now. You need to release somebody right now. Call them out by name. Father, I release so-and-so. I release this person. I release that person. I forgive them and let them go today. They are not worth me not receiving my prayers, receiving my breakthrough, receiving my deliverance in Jesus' name. Today, come on, somebody needs to mark it on their calendar today on Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. Write it on your journal. Write it on your calendar. Come on, write it down. Say, today is the day I let so-and-so go, and I say no more offense today. You're cutting the root of bitterness today in Jesus' name. Come on, receive that today. Maybe you're watching this today, and you say, my Lord, I've been praying with the wrong intent and the wrong motive. Or even this, I believe there's people that's watching this today, and today you've got a revelation from God that it's okay for you to ask the Lord to bless you. It's okay for you to ask the Lord to prosper you. It's okay for you to ask the Lord for a new home or for a new job or a new position or a promotion. You have permission to do that today from the word of God. But we want to make sure the motive's right. Some of you is going to cut and sever ties from wrong motives and wrong preaching and wrong teaching today in Jesus' name. Because listen, here's the key. Seek ye first. not second, not leftovers, not last. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the Bible says, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Come on, listen, I'm going to agree with you today. I believe God wants you to be in a nice neighborhood. He don't want you to live somewhere where you got to fear being robbed and fear being shot. He wants you to have a nice home and a nice neighborhood. He wants your kids to go to good schools. He wants you to get a good education. Come on, he wants you to prosper and he wants you to be blessed. But then don't forget him when he's blessed you. Come on, make sure that you begin to bless others and you begin to remind others and reveal to them how you got blessed and who brought you out of the pit and brought you up. Come on, and established your goings in the name of Jesus. And then last but not least, I want everybody to participate in this prayer right here. I want you, listen, I'm not going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. I'm just going to ask you to come into agreement with me as I pray. And I'm going to pray right now. All of us are going to pray. Father, I pray right now in the midst of all my brothers and sisters that are listening or watching this today. Lord, I ask that you'd search and seek my heart, Lord, and there be any sin in my heart right now, Lord, I repent of it. I repent. Come on, somebody. There's people right now begin to repent, begin to turn away, begin to turn from some of these things that are bondages, some of these things that are addictions, some of these things that are strongholds. And you know that these things are hindrances. They're nagging. Every time you go in the presence of God, you go into the house of God, it's always there because God is calling you. Come on. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews to lay down every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Come on, so that you can run and that you can finish the race. Some folks are watching today and you are laying down the sin. There's that one thing, Father, we help us. I ask that you'd help us by the Holy Spirit. Lay down that thing. That thing might be alcohol. That thing may be drugs. That thing may be pornography. That thing may be some type of addiction. It may be fear. It may be unforgiveness. Whatever it is, that sin that so easily besets, it's like an anchor. It's like a weight that we can't get where we want to in the Lord. We can't get to where we need to in the confidence that we need in our prayer, in our prayer life, in our devotional life, because that sin is so easily besetting us. I know nobody preaches on sin anymore, so this is making some people nervous today, and this might be alien to you, but I'm telling you, the Bible still is alive today. It doesn't change. Jesus Christ said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the apostles dealt with sin and the early church dealt with sin, come on, then I'm telling you, the church today is dealing with sin. But the problem is we ain't got anybody that will preach on it, that will give the Holy Spirit opportunity to deal with it today. So that's what we're doing with today. And you say, what's my motive? What's my intent? My intent is for you to be free and for me to be free. Come on. He that knows the truth, hears the truth, seeks the truth, believes the truth, will know the truth, and he shall be set free in Jesus' name. Come on, some people's got free today. If you're free today, I want you to praise him, raise your hands, thank him, give him a glory to God, a thank you, Jesus, a praise God, or whatever. Show your gratitude of thanksgiving. So again, guys, we thank you for taking the time today to come on to the broadcast. Again, we do have some stuff that I want to show you today, I want to give you an opportunity. I'll get my words straight here. We prayed so much there that my tongue's getting a little bit twisted. We want to give you an opportunity to follow us, our ministry, and to keep up with our ministry. We want to show you how to do that. So right there on your screen, endtimeheadlines.com, go there, visit the website. That's our main website. Book that website, subscribe to us. How do you subscribe to us? You're going to see at the very top, at the tab, there's a place where you can subscribe. Click on that. You'll get a daily digest. Also, if you've not yet downloaded our free app, I said it's free. You can do that on the Google Play Store, on the Apple Play Store. Download that app. Get it free. Get it into your hands. You're going to keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're at the bottom. You're going to be able to listen to our podcast, watch our podcast. All that's going to be right there in your hands. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to support this ministry with a gift of any amount, or you'd like to partner with us, perhaps you don't have a home church where you live because of COVID, or there's no spirit-filled churches, whatever the case may be. We hear this scenario all the time. We get the letters, we get the emails, we get the messages. If this is you and you feel like this is your home church because you're edified, you're informed, you're equipped, all we ask you to do is, as the Holy Spirit puts it upon or places it upon your heart, we ask that you be obedient to Him and you would help support this ministry. Why? Because everything we do is free. The app is free. The messages are free. The digest is free. Everything's free for you guys, but it does cost money for us to operate the ministry. Subscription fees, the app, all this stuff, the security fees to keep our website going. Not because we had our website was hacked a few years ago, and it cost us a lot of money to put up these security measures to prevent that from happening. So again, I believe according to the word of God, as you are blessed, you bless where you are fed from and where you're equipped from, because I believe what the word of God says, give and it shall be given back unto you. Good measured, pressed down, shaking together and running over. So listen, there's several ways you can do that. You can go to the app, go to the bottom, click all of, or go to the all way to the right, click on donate, and you can give electronically. You can do that at the main website as well, or you can give by check or money order. And I call it the old school method. Nothing wrong with that. Some people still do that. You can do that at making out your check or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We're going to come back here on Friday. What I'm going to do is we're going to do a prayer segment, but what I'll do is we'll do a little devotional, and then we'll pray according to that devotion. So depending on what that devotion is subjected to or in context to, we'll pray accordingly. Kind of like what we did today. We prayed on these 4 points, and I believe everybody falls into these points. So we'll do that on Friday. So don't miss this. Looking forward to being with you guys again in a couple of days. So until then, God bless you guys. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.